Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you've gathered us here this morning. And Holy Spirit, as we've gathered, you're in the midst of our gathering. Thank you for your presence. Now, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Take these words and thoughts of mine and use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finally tune in the midst of all that I say, Jesus. It's your word we'd hear. Amen. Please be seated. I just thought I would check, since there's so many people running for president, is anyone going to put their name in? Incredible pool of candidates, incredible size, let's say. The one common thing with all of the candidates, to one degree or another, is they're calling for change. Some nuanced, some very drastic change. Nobody is really saying we need to continue as we have been. All the candidates are distancing themselves from our current president. Change. It's not quite working the way it could. We had a reading this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 8. And this time in Israel's history, it's a lot like the climate of our country, but a lot worse. Magnify it. The commonality, it's not working. Political change is needed. It's broken. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When Samuel got to be an old man, he set his sons up as judges in Israel. His firstborn son was named Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were assigned duty in Beersheba. But his sons didn't take after him. They were out for what they could get for themselves, taking bribes, corrupting justice. Fed up, all the elders of Israel got together and confronted Samuel at Ramah. They presented their case. Look, you're an old man, and your sons aren't following your footsteps. Here's what we want you to do. Appoint a king to rule us, just like everybody else. A bit of a aside, but very connected. My experience in Haiti and Cuba. Traveled to Haiti, it was before the earthquakes, and I saw a country desperate for change. A country that is filled with corruption. A country of starvation, of death. You see, electricity would only come on intermittently. Roads were, well, if you could call it a road, there would be a path, and there'd be a huge pothole in the path. And someone would be coming down towards you, and if they continued on their lane, they would go into a huge pothole that would probably engulf the vehicle. So they, at 70 miles an hour, would change lanes and be coming in your lane, and you had the choice, as you played chicken, do I go in the pothole, or is he going to get back into his lane before I get to him? It's a country in desperate need of change. Told the story before, one of the trips that I went on, I took my father with me, a physician, and we were giving inoculations over something, measles or something at that point. And so we had a little clinic set up. And a woman came in, an older woman, carrying a little infant, just bawling. Take care of my grandchild, she said. And one of the other doctors took the baby in her arms, and within moments, the baby died. A regular occurrence in Haiti. Several years later, we began to have a connection in Cuba. And I saw in Cuba not nearly the death and starvation and the corruption, but I saw people that were less than free, but they could get by. And when I talked about having been to Haiti before, oh, they would shake their heads. Oh, it's nothing like that here. We don't have that death and destruction. We have the best health care in the region, and it's free. We have wonderful free education. But they were constantly watched. And at best, they got by. I wouldn't want to live under a dictator. But if I were living in Haiti, would I, like the Israelites, ask for a king? Maybe. You see, the judges weren't working. Israel, at this time in history, did not have a king. There were judges over various regions. And as I already read, it wasn't working. Solution, let's change the government. Isn't that our solution? Isn't it going to all be better if we elect the right president? Samuel warns them. Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 and following. So Samuel told them, delivered God's warning to the people who were asking him to give them a king. He said, this is the way the kind of a king you're talking about operates. He'll take your sons and make them soldiers. Chariotry, cavalry, infantry, regiment and battalions and squadrons. He'll put some to forced labor on his farms, plowing and harvesting, others to making weapons of war or chariots in which he can ride in luxury. He'll put your daughters to work as beauticians and waitresses and cooks. He'll conscript your best fields, vineyards, and orchards and hand them over to his special friends. He'll tax your harvests and vintage to support his extensive bureaucracy. Your prized workers and best animals he'll take for his own use. He'll lay a tax on your flocks and you'll end up no better than slaves. The day will come when you'll cry out in desperation because this king you wanted so much is not what you thought he would be. For Samuel, it's obvious changing the government and bringing in a king isn't going to solve it. It's not going to make it better. But let's go back in the text to Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and following. Fed up all the elders of Israel and together confronted Samuel at Ramah. They presented their case. Look, you're an old man and your sons aren't following in your footsteps. Here's what we want you to do. Appoint a king to rule us just like everybody else. When Samuel heard this, give us a king to rule us, he was crushed. How awful, Samuel prayed to God. God answered Samuel, go ahead and do what they're asking. They're not rejecting you. They rejected me as their king. The problem Samuel's having is they want to be just like everybody else. Look, over there, that seems to be, they're getting by. The Haitians look at the Cubans. Could we just be like them? Listen to some passages from Isaiah. I'm the Lord, I've called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Were they called as God's people to be just like everybody else? They were called to be a light, to be different. To be that which would draw people because of their difference to the God that created them. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are we called to be just like everybody else? No. We're called to be very different. Like the Israelites, to be a light to the world. That through the way we live differently, people will ask us why we live differently and be drawn to the creator of the universe. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. God answered, go ahead and do what they're asking. They're not rejecting you. They've rejected me as king. The second issue that Samuel had with their request was they weren't recognizing the king they already had. Who's their king? God. They've rejected me, their king. They already have a king. And when things get bad, go to him. Talk to him and ask him for direction rather than seeking a earthly king and believing he will solve it or looking to your neighbors to be just like them. Who is our king? Revelation chapter 17. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings, but they're not yet in power. They will come to power with the scarlet beast, but won't last long, a very brief reign. These kings will agree to turn over their power and authority to the beast. They will go at war against the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. But the Lamb will defeat them, proof that he is Lord over lords and king over kings. Jesus is king. Revelation chapter 19. Then I saw heaven open wide, and oh, a white horse and its rider. The rider named Faithful and True judges and makes war in pure righteousness. His eyes are blaze of fire, his head many crowns. He has a name inscribed that's known only to himself. He's dressed in a robe soaked with blood, and he is addressed as Word of God. The armies of heaven mount on white horses and dressed in dazzling white linen. They follow him. A sharp sword comes out of his mouth, and he can subdue the nations, then rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the raging wrath of God, the sovereign strong. On his robes and thighs written, King of kings and Lord of lords. We sang it as I walked in this morning. Jesus is our king. We don't need a king. It's not a new president that's going to solve the problems of our world or the world. It's the king of the world, Jesus, that will. God said, Samuel, it's not about you, it's about me. Go ahead and give them what they're asking. They want to be just like everybody else. They got what they prayed for. Careful. Sometimes you pray for the wrong thing, and rather than God stopping it, he allows it to happen to teach us something. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. You think that's what he was doing with them? Okay, you want a king? I'll let you learn the lesson the hard way. Have we not done that as parents? I mean, that's what the sense of Romans 8:28 that we all probably already know. For we know that in all things God works together for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Even the prayers that are said out of our own desire of what we think would be the solution, and he knows it's not the right solution, sometimes he answers to allow us to learn the hard way. Because he loves us. And he wants us to learn it. And that might be the only way that hard-headed Mark can learn the lesson. Our misguided prayers and cries. You see, when the going gets tough, don't look to your neighbor and want to be just like them. You might think they've figured it out, but it might be sort of like the Haitian and Cuban situation. It looks better than your plot, but it's still not what God would have for you. It's still not the solution. It's still not the solution. Don't ask for you to be made like them. And don't ask him to send you a king because you already have one. Listen again to Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Do not try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over. Amen.